This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. Time now for a look at some more of Monday's headlines. And admitted Wall Street scammer Bernard Madoff and his wife will have to forfeit homes, cars, boats, and securities if U.S. prosecutors have their way. A court document shows the prosecutors want silverware and a piano as well. The forfeiture filing comes after Madoff's guilty pleas on 11 counts last week in a Manhattan courtroom. 11 criminal charges connected to a massive Ponzi scheme totaling more than $50 billion. The 70-year-old Madoff is in jail awaiting sentencing in June after a judge revoked his bail last week. His attorneys are expected to try to reverse the bail revocation. On Wall Street today, little change. Stocks ending on a sour note after American Express said its number of cardholders having trouble making their credit card payments rose in February. The Dow was off 7 points to close at 72.17 after being up more than 100 points earlier in the session. The S&P 500 lost 3 points to 754. The Nasdaq down 27 to 1404. Oil up $1.10 to close at $47.35 per barrel. Over here in Washington, it's a battle of the previous administration and the current administration. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union Sunday, former Vice President Dick Cheney went after the new Obama administration on a number of fronts, both foreign and domestic. Starting on the domestic front, the former vice president says the American people should not blame the recession on the previous Bush administration.
I don't think you can blame the Bush administration for the creation of those circumstances. It's a global financial problem. We had, in fact, tried to deal with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac problem some years before with major reforms and were blocked by Democrats on the Hill, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd. So I think the notion that you can just sort of throw it off on the prior administration, that's interesting rhetoric.
The Obama administration has consistently referred to the fact that they inherited this economic crisis as well as record deficits. Cheney says he believes the Obama administration is using the current economic crisis as a chance to increase government's control over the economy.
I worry a lot that they're using the current set of economic difficulties to try to justify a massive expansion in the government and much more authority for the government over the private sector, and I don't think that's good.
Cheney says if the Obama team gets everything it seems to want right now, it would be the largest power grab in American history.
Frankly, I think the programs that he's recommended and pursuing in health care, in energy, and so forth, constitute probably the biggest or one of the biggest expansions of federal authority over the private economy in the history of the Republic.
Cheney also says that the country is less safe and will be less safe as a result of the Obama administration reversing previous Bush administration policies, including the order to close down the detention center at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, as well as ending the military tribunal trials of those currently incarcerated there. He also says Obama's scaling back of interrogation policies will only hurt this country in the long run. At Monday's White House press briefing, Press Secretary Robert Gibbs not overly impressed with the vice president's comments.
I guess Rush Limbaugh was busy, so they trotted out the next most popular member of the Republican cabal.
In a more serious reaction, Gibbs added, quote, not taking economic advice from Dick Cheney would be maybe the best possible outcome, unquote, of Cheney's weekend remarks. As for the foreign stage and the policies aimed towards the war on terror, Gibbs says, quote, for 7+ years, the very perpetrators that the vice president says he's concerned about weren't brought to justice. He added, quote, on the very first week of his administration, Obama chose to change that, to take those who had committed terrorist acts and to finally bring about instituting a process to bring about swift and certain justice, unquote. Meanwhile, Americans are concerned about the economy, but most of them still approve of the job the president is doing. A new CNN opinion research poll shows 64% of Americans like President Obama's job performance. That's a 3% drop from last month. With regards to the economy, 59% approve, while 40% disapprove. Split up by political affiliation, Obama is liked by more than 90% of Democrats and nearly 60% of independents. Two-thirds of Republicans disapprove of Obama's job performance. The Obama economic team also speaking out about economic predictions made by Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke on Sunday's edition of 60 Minutes. Bernanke says the recession will continue throughout most of 2009, but will also bottom out this year, and the 2010 will be a year of recovery. Austin Goolsbee is a member of President Obama's Council of Economic Advisors and says he does believe there is light at the end of the tunnel, but he says it might take a little bit longer than Bernanke is suggesting.
The White House and the administration, what we're working on is trying to get the policies in place that can lay the fundamental groundwork for recovery. If that comes at the end of the year, that's fabulous.
Turning to the war on terror now, the U.S. military says that warplanes shot down an unmanned Iranian drone aircraft over Iraq. Details of the incident, which occurred last month, are only now just emerging, but reporter Malcolm Brown has more.
Officials say two coalition warplanes were sent to identify the unmanned aerial vehicle after it entered Iraqi airspace. The pilots reportedly confirmed that it was not a coalition aircraft. In a statement, the U.S. military says that jet fighters were ordered to open fire after ensuring there would be no damage on the ground. American and Iraqi officials appear at odds over whether this was an accidental incursion or not, with the U.S. believing that it was deliberate. Malcolm Brown, Washington.
For his part, on Monday, President Obama, marking the 20th anniversary of the modern Department of Veterans Affairs, headlining the ceremony at the VA, the president heaped praise on U.S. veterans and active duty military members.
And they're our bravest, enlisting in a time of war, enduring tour after tour of duty, serving with honor under the most difficult circumstances and making sacrifices that many of us cannot begin to imagine.
But Obama says that many have worn the nation's uniform and still need a lot of help, and so he says the work of the VA is clearly not done.
Those heroes have a home. It's the country they served, the United States of America. And until we reach a day when not a single veteran sleeps on our nation's streets, our work remains unfinished.
Meanwhile, a new report shows a dramatic increase in the HIV/AIDS rate right here in Washington, D.C. The report obtained by the Washington Post shows at least 3% of D.C. residents are now living with HIV or AIDS. The numbers, compiled in 2008 by the D.C. HIV/AIDS Administration, found the number of cases jumped some 22% from 2006. The number of active cases has reached severe epidemic status, according to the report. The U.S. Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals is upholding the state of Texas moment of silence law. Texas schools begin each morning with a minute of silence for students to reflect, pray, meditate, or engage in any other silent activity. A North Texas couple filed a lawsuit challenging the law, but that challenge was rejected by a federal district court Monday. The federal decision affirmed a lower court's ruling. Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott defended a young Texan's right to begin each school day with a pledge of allegiance and a moment of silence. He maintained that the 2003 statute is constitutional, saying in an age where children are bombarded with distractions, beginning each day with a moment of silence offers a welcome moment of quiet contemplation. And a computer expert has done some research that was supposed to help you fill out your bracket sheets for the upcoming NCAA basketball tournament. And the finding is that once you get later into the tournament, the seeding doesn't help you. It does in the first three rounds, but once you get to the Elite Eight, flipping a coin does as much good as going by the seeding of those teams remaining. Dateline Washington, we'll be right back.